would like to invite all of the artists up to the chairs here and open up the session to some questions and answers. So does anybody have any questions that they would like to address to any of the artists up here on the panel? No? Okay, well then I guess I'll start with a question. Well, this one I think it can apply to many of you, but it's specifically addressed to Marcia. You showed us some of your drawings as well as some of your paintings, and it had me thinking about some of the work that we have, particularly in the collection, the dated work from 1972. And my understanding of those drawings from that period, you had been painting for a while, and then you turned to just doing drawing. And do you feel, like, I mean, was it in terms of, did you see drawing as a way to help you through the process of painting, and how did it help you return to painting, the act of drawing?
Very much that, yes. Yes, I had lived in Rome and painted there for 7 years and exhibited my work, and that was a different sort of work. I sometimes call it pop minimal. I don't know what it really was. But then I was in California again. I came to New York, and I thought, I wanted to join a community of painters here, but I didn't see anything that intrigued me to take off from. So I said, I'm going to start all over. I'm going to just do the most simple thing I can. Pencil on paper, vertical lines cover the page. And this is the kind of work that MoMA has from 1973 or 72 maybe. And I continued that for a while, and then that led into the paintings, but that led me to monochrome paintings, and then all these other things I showed you took off from there.
Does anybody have?
Can you hear me? I wanted to say to Mr. Rodriguez how much I love his work. And I'm very curious to know, since I've known a lot of painters from, you know, the 60s and 70s, I am curious to ask each of the painters, if I may, all of whose work is very interesting, do they listen to music when they're painting, and what do they listen to? Starting with Mr. Rodriguez.
I tend to listen to sports radio more than anything, and then NPR. But if I listen to music, it could vary from, you know, a lot of electronic ambient stuff to Japanese death metal. So it varies. I mean, it just depends on my mood. So I tend to listen to less and less music, actually, when I'm working. I'm looking for something even more mindless than music, and I guess sports radio is the best I can do.
Well, I haven't liked very much to listen to music while I'm working, especially if it's, I mean, some part of the process that requires thinking. But when I'm into a painting and just working on that, Morton Feldman turned out to be the best music. Morton Feldman's music was the best for me to sort of accompany me and yet not interfere with me. And I have other musicians who are composers related to that kind of music most often.
I'm not a painter, so.
Do you guys want to comment on that?
Any other questions?
I have a question for Michael Rodriguez. You've made a big jump from your beginning paintings to now these abstractions. Do you foresee another jump from there?
Hopefully not for a while. The previous jump took about 18 years, so I anticipate the next jump will probably take another 18 years.
One thing I thought was really interesting, I think both you, Michael, and David, you talked about a lot of these unfinished works that you guys do, and sort of the process of making art and leaving it, and sort of, and how it sort of works into a lot of the newer work that you guys are doing, and in particular yours. In a way, the unfinished work becomes a piece and not a work. And I was wondering if you could talk a bit about that.
Well, I think the good thing about that, for me at least, is sometimes when you have a vision or whatever of what you're supposed to be doing, and then sometimes it ends up being just a matter of executing it, you know, feel like you're doing labor. So sometimes when something doesn't work out and you have piles of things sort of like hanging around, they become little reminders of ideas that you had and fragments. But then, again, they sit around long enough that they lose their their preciousness. Hey, thank you. And you can sort of play around with them in a much more intuitive way, and that keeps things fresh. And it's very good for me because I tend to fall into these very long. I didn't show much of that work, but I have a history of doing pieces that take 6 to 8 months, and they're very, very labor intensive. And sometimes I feel like I just have to push that aside and do something where I have no idea where I'm going to keep things alive. So.
And I guess for Robert Beck, one of the questions I had, and I don't know how much of it, part of it being part of your artistic practice as well as a very personal decision, but can you talk about the work that you're doing now under your new name and sort of the difference between those two bodies of work? And
is this on?
Yeah.
Well, the slides, the installation shots that mm-hmm. you saw... were images from the last show at CRG Gallery here in New York, and that was in June of last year, was the inaugural show for Robert Buck. And I'm working now on a series of silkscreen paintings, which are on fields of alert paint. Alert paint is like what's used in tennis shoes and street pylons, etc. The shortest answer would be I don't see it as like this radical reinvention or a kind of schizophrenia. It's more as if it's a quarter turn. And I think it's most interesting to me as an artwork would be in that one has to ask why. And I was also curious to know how far the art object could go. And what outside of an object or of the white cube discourse could it touch? And as you could probably tell from my speedy recital of a dream and only part of its analysis, I'm interested in psychology and psychoanalysis and naming and the father and all these things that come with it. And so I thought that the dream was the best way, or the analysis, that actually the dream work was the best way to kind of get at really what that meant. And another kind of short answer would be, I'm still finding out.
Thank you.
Thanks. I had a question for Yuri Masnev.
Yeah.
What is the role of isometric format in your drawings?
It comes from a couple of things. I when I was in college, I went to the Met and discovered Chinese scroll painting for the first time. And, they use an isometric style perspective in order to... Some of the images that I didn't show that are kind of hard to show in the slide format are these long panoramic works that I do. So if you're gonna have a scroll format, they use an isometric perspective so that you can unroll the scroll and keep unrolling it, and the viewer is never positioned in one particular spot. So the viewer actually is hovering over the rooms. I found Chinese scrolls to be... I couldn't understand why I loved them so much. And then I realized that my love of the scroll and its format probably came out of playing like excessive early video games. It kind of seems like a cheesy answer, but really early Atari worked like a scroll. Like you got your character to the right end of the screen and then the screen opened up and you moved over. So I realized that one of the reasons I found Chinese landscape painting to be so easily understood by me was that I already had training in that sort of format. And then it just seemed like a natural way to start drawing these rooms because I didn't want to situate the viewer, especially if I'm going over multiple views. All the views I showed today were kind of small because they just translate better to the screen that way. Does that answer the question?
Are there any other questions? OK. Okay, well, I guess I want to thank you all for coming and participating. This has been a really great series, and we're really happy to have you participate. And our next 5x20x20 is next Tuesday, Monday. So we hope the audience can join us for that as well. And thank you.